How many of you, Christmas is your favorite time of year? Let's see your hands. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Well, come on over and decorate my tree, will you please? Christmas is a blur to me, to be honest with you. You know, with all the Christmas concerts and everything that's going on, it seems to be a blur. But it's Christmas time, and it goes by so quickly. You know, it reminds me of a story. I got to tell you, I get on my phone, I get joke of the day. Every day I get an email and it tells me a joke. And so last week I thought I got a joke. I said, you know what? It's an appropriate joke for this time of year. There was an 80-year-old lady by the name of Thelma Goldstein. Thelma Goldstein was 80 years old and she lived in New York City all of her life. And she saved up all of her pennies, and finally she was able to take a vacation. Finally, after 80 years, she saved up all her pennies, and she went to, she found herself in North Miami, Florida, okay? In North Miami, and she goes up and she finds this beautiful hotel. And what, unbeknownst to her, though, it was a very exclusive hotel. And they don't just rent to anybody. It's one of those hoity-toity hotels. Well, Thelma Goldstein comes up to the front desk and says, "Hi, my name is Thelma Goldstein, and I'd like to rent a room for 2 weeks, please." And the hotel desk clerk says to her, "I'm sorry, all of our rooms are booked." She says, "For the next 2 weeks?" He says, "Yep, for the next 2 weeks." Well, as soon as he said that, a guy comes up to the front desk and puts down his key and says, here you go, I'm checking out, thanks a lot. She goes, "Wow, what luck, he just checked out, I'll take his room." And the hotel clerk says, "Well, I'm sorry, we don't rent to Jews." She says, "Excuse me?" He says, "Yeah, we don't rent to Jews." And she says, "Well, I'm not Jewish, I'm Catholic." And he says, "Don't tell me that, with a name like Goldstein, there's no way you could be Catholic." She says, "Well, I'm Catholic." He says, "Well, I'll tell you what. Let me ask you a few questions here. Who was Jesus?" He says, Thelma says, "He was the Son of God, born of a virgin Mary." And he says, "Well, okay. Well, where was he born?" Thelma says, "He was born in a stable. Can I have my room now?" And he says, no, one more question. He says, "Why was he born in a stable?" She says, "Because schmucks like you wouldn't let a Jew rent a hotel room." Amen. Praise the schmucks like you, you know. Anyway, I see the time. I promise this is a short message, but take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. You're looking at a very blessed man this morning that's standing here. Some of you had birthdays today. Happy birthday to all of you. I have a daughter, Alicia, who's her birthday's today, December 7th, and so I'm going to go visit her this afternoon when I get home in between the services. But you're also looking at someone who's, I just recently had a new grandbaby. My first granddaughter, her name is Juliet Marie. We call her Jelly Bean, or we call her Cutie Patootie. But she heard about her really cool papa that plays a saxophone. She was due in September, but she couldn't wait to meet her papa that plays a saxophone, so she showed up in July. And so for like 4 or 5 weeks, that's how we spent our mornings, was in the neonatal intensive care unit at Saginaw Covenant. But she's doing great, and she's home. And just this week, her heart monitor was taken off, and she no longer needs a heart monitor. So praise the Lord for little Juliet. So you're looking at a blessed man this morning, especially this time of year, how blessed we really are. And we realize what Christmas is all about, and the fact that God has blessed us all abundantly because of Jesus Christ and coming down, stepping out of eternity 33 years later, dying on the cross for you and I. So you're looking at a blessed man this morning. And if you're with me in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, stand with me in honor of God's word. We're going to read the entire first chapter of Psalms. Don't let me scare you on that, because that chapter is only 6 verses long. Okay, read aloud with me, will you please? Ready? "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his law is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together, Lord. And may we, just in the few short minutes we have left, Lord, may we hear from heaven. Speak through me, Lord, and tell us what you want us to know this morning. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory, for it's in your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. You may be seated. And junior church can be dismissed, right? I didn't want to forget that. Speaking of the kids, tonight they will be participating in that Christmas concert with me. So if you have children, make sure you bring them back tonight, because they will be participating with me in that program. So if you have grandparents, make sure you show up. Parents, come on back tonight. Bring your cameras with you, because they're going to be entertaining you tonight. You're looking at a blessed man this morning. And what we read in the first chapter of Psalms, chapter 1, I believe God shows us what a blessed man, a blessed woman can be measured by. And we like to look at when we look at a person, we look at various facets of their lives. Some people are rich, some are poor. Some are ignorant, some are full of wisdom. But God doesn't measure people by all these different categories. He measures you, he measures me, one of two ways. We're either lost or we're saved. We've either accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and are on our way to heaven. Already we're on our way to heaven. Or we are on our way to hell. As somebody once said, you're either a saint or an ain't. Okay? But God doesn't look at the blue book of finances. He doesn't care what your bank account is like. He doesn't care how big of a car you drove into church in this morning was like. God wants to know whether you're saved or you're lost. He looks on the inward side. He looks at your soul. And so this morning, in the few minutes we have left, we are going to look at four ways you can measure whether you are a blessed man, a blessed woman this morning. Now, I would hazard to guess that everyone here wants to be blessed, correct? We all want to live a blessed life. And so how do you measure a blessed man? How do you measure a blessed woman this morning? Well, I believe in these verses we're going to see quickly. Look with me at verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate periodically. No. In his law doth he meditate every so often. No. It says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. And I believe, and I'm preaching to myself this morning, I believe you can live a blessed life by staying in the Word of God. Amen. Okay, by staying in the handbook that God's given us for our lives. And if we would conduct our lives according to God's word, we would find ourselves living a more blessed life. I remember I got saved when I was 30 years old, August 4th of 1986. And the guy that led me to the Lord, I was in the computer industry for 25 plus years. And the guy that led me to the Lord on August 4th of 1986, about a day or two later, he took me to, we drove to Saginaw, and we went into Zondervan's bookstore. Okay, how many remember when it was Zondervan's? Zondervan's, it's now Family Bookstore. Okay, but back then it was called Zondervan's, and it was based out of Grand Rapids. But he took me into Zondervan's bookstore, and I bought an old King James Bible from Zondervan's. Okay, and I remember taking it home that night, and I could take it to the very living room that I was sitting in, and the dining room table. But my wife Joy was watching TV, and I started reading the Bible, and I started laughing. And I couldn't stop laughing as I was reading the Bible. And Joy looked at me saying, "What's so funny? You're laughing over the Bible?" And I said, "No, Joy, I'm not laughing over the Bible. I'm laughing at the fact that I'm reading the Bible." Because if you would have told me 7 days before that I would want to start reading the Bible, I would have laughed at you and I would have said, "You're crazy. There's no way I would want to read the Bible." But now I'm at a point in my life where that I find that it's so important to get into God's Word. And if you want to be a blessed man, a blessed woman this morning, number one, you'll be faithful to the Word of God. You'll read your Bible every day if you can. Now, are there days that I get busy? I'm testifying this morning. Yeah, I'm confessing. There's days that I just can't open God's Word. I don't find the time. I should find the time. But something happened, and I find that I missed out on opening up and having devotions that morning. But I believe that it's vitally important that if we want to live a blessed life, number one, stay faithful to the Word of God. Amen. Number two, look with me at verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." I believe that if you want to be a blessed man or a blessed woman this morning, you are measured by your friends, by the company you keep. And I'd like to share the fact that I've got probably 5 men in my life that I can trust and they have my back. And I could call them at any hour of the morning or night and say, "Brother, I blew it. I need some advice. Tell me what I need to do." And they won't persecute me. They won't talk behind my back. They won't gossip. They have my back. And I believe every one of us here this morning should have friends we can count on. Amen? Amen. Friends that give us godly counsel. And also, you see in this verse a progression. The progression, we see that blessed is a man that walketh not, nor standeth in, nor sitteth in. You see the progression. First you walk, then you stand, and then before long you sit. And you find that it happens in everyday life. Every one of us, first of all, every one of us are sinners here this morning, are we not? For all have sinned. And I find that there's a progression for sin. First, you walk, then you stand, then you sit. Before long, you'll be sitting. And I have talked to people that say, "Well, that sin you're talking about, that'll never happen to me." Never say never. Right? Every one of us is prone to any type of sin. And it's by the grace of God that God grants us that forgiveness. Amen? Amen. And so we see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've seen the progression of sin. So if you want to be a blessed man, a blessed woman this morning, number one, you'll be faithful to the Word of God. You'll do your best to read God's Word daily. You know, I was having problems with my Tahoe out there. A couple weeks ago, a light went on the dashboard. And that Tahoe has 312,000 miles on. It's done me good, okay? And so, but when that light went on, I had to pull out the owner's manual. And I had to look at the owner's manual because I couldn't figure out why the light went on, okay? And this, church, is our owner's manual. Amen. How we are to conduct our lives. Number one, we'll be faithful to the Word of God. Number two, we are measured, whether you're blessed or not, by the friends you have and the company you keep. Number three, a blessed man, a blessed woman this morning, look with me at verse 3. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." A blessed man, a blessed woman this morning is measured by their fruit. What fruit, do you ask? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can go to Galatians chapter 5, but due to lack of time, we won't go there this morning. I encourage you to look and reread Galatians 5:22. But I want to abound in love and joy and patience and long-suffering and every other fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to be a blessed man, a blessed woman this morning, you'll want to have all of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And do you know what I found in my life? I found that you cannot show me a senior citizen who lives for the devil who's happy. They all got that sour look on their face, right? They all got that grumpy look on their face, right? I mean, now, you can show me teenagers that are living for the devil that appear to be happy, but they're really not. But you cannot show me one senior citizen, one older person who's not living for God that's happy. However, I can show you a senior saint living for the Lord Jesus Christ, who attends church, reads their Bible faithfully. Their hands may be withered with arthritis, and they may have silver hair on their head or no hair at all. But the joy of the Lord is written all over their face. Amen. And so, number one, a blessed man, a blessed woman this morning is measured by their faithfulness to the Word of God. Number two, they're measured by the company they keep, their friends. Number three, a blessed man, a blessed woman this morning is measured by the fruit that they have in their lives, the fruit they exhibit. Look, we all know Christians that their face looks like they've been weaned on a dill pickle. And if you're saved this morning, heaven is your home one day. Heaven is your home. You are never going to spend one split second in hell. Are we going to go through valleys in life? Absolutely. Are we going to have trials and tribulations? Absolutely. But if you're saved this morning, you're never going to spend one split second in hell. And that's enough to rejoice about for the rest of your earthly life. Amen? You know, I feel real good about God's Word and the fact that I have the availability every morning over coffee to open up God's Word. And every one of us has that freedom here in this country to open up God's Word on a daily basis. I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about the faithfulness to God's Word. I feel pretty good about the friends I have. I feel pretty good about the fruit of the Spirit I have. And the fact that we have access and availability to the Holy Spirit and all that fruit. But I feel really good. Fourthly and finally, I feel real good about my future. Faithfulness to the Word of God, your friends, the fruit of the Spirit, and fourthly and finally, your future. The future. I mentioned that if you're saved this morning, you're never going to spend one split second in hell. I feel the fact that we see here that there's a plan in each of our lives, the future of the blessed man, a blessed woman this morning. And if you're saved this morning, you will never spend one second in hell, and that allows you to focus on your future. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. For our Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Sing with me. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. The future of the Christian. The blessed man, the blessed woman this morning. You know, the Bible in this psalm that we read talks about the fact in verse 4, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. You see, the future of the blessed man, the blessed woman, is the fact that one day, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior will spend eternity in heaven. But the ungodly are not so. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that you're ungodly. And you say, well, Dennis, I take offense to that. I don't live an ungodly life. Why? I'm offended. Well, first of all, let me share this. I didn't call you ungodly. The Bible refers to those who are not saved as ungodly. It doesn't mean you're living a terrible life. But what it does mean is the fact that you do not have the Holy Spirit indwelt in you. And the example I like to use is, I'm a product of the 70s. I grew up in the 70s, and there was a 7-Up commercial, and it had a black man in a pure white suit with a white hat. And he had kind of a low bass voice and kind of a Jamaican accent, and he would say 7-Up, the Uncola. How many of you remember that commercial? Yeah, a good number of you. Those of you who are my age, remember that, right? I'm dating myself here. But the fact is, why did he call 7-Up the Uncola? Because it had no caffeine in. It had no cola in it. So it was an Uncola. It was without cola. And that's like people who do not have Jesus Christ or have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible teaches that when you are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And you are now, your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is residing in you. But those who are not saved, born again, never received Christ as their Savior, do not have God living in them. Therefore, they are considered, much like 7-Up, ungodly. It doesn't mean you're living a terrible life. I know some of the best people, the neighbors down my street that have not received Christ as their Savior, they're the nicest people. It doesn't mean they live an ungodly life. It just means that they do not have God indwelt in them. And so we see the future of the blessed man, the blessed woman this morning. We see one day heaven is our home. But the fact is this, my friend, that if you're here this morning, and if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, heaven is not your home. It's not according to Dennis Guizdella. It's according to a holy God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. My friend, the Bible does make it clear that if you are saved, heaven is your home one day. The Bible also makes it very clear that if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, heaven is not your home, but rather hell. Eternal separation from God. You see, heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a sinless place, a pure, clean place. God cannot allow one sin into heaven. And the Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all blown it. I've blown it. My grandchildren have blown it. They've already misbehaved. And it shows the fact, the truth, that every one of us here today have sinned. The Bible also teaches that there's a price we have to pay for our sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And not just physical death, but spiritual separation forever in a place called hell. The Bible also says that although we are all sinners, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Did you hear that? It's a gift, free. That's what Christmas is all about. The reason for the season, the reason what we're going to celebrate tonight is Jesus. The reason God stepped out of eternity as a baby, and 33 years later, he died on that cross. He took the form of a baby in a manger. 33 years later, he died for you and I. Fourthly and finally, there is a catch. There is something we have to do in our life to be saved. Fourthly and finally, we individually have to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. It doesn't matter what our parents have done, our grandparents have done. We individually are accountable for ourselves. And we individually have to receive Christ as our personal Savior. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. My friend, if that's you this morning, If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not a coincidence you're here. God knew you were going to be here today. And he wants you to settle it once and for all. God wants you to receive him as your personal Savior this morning. And if you would only invite Jesus into your heart this morning, in the very seat that you're sitting in right now, you too can be saved and heaven can be your home one day. With every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. My friend, if that's you this morning, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, would you just simply, quietly in your heart, pray with me? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe your word is correct, your word is true. And I believe that in order to be born again, in order to be saved and heaven to be my home, I must receive you as my personal Savior. Your word, Lord, says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm that whosoever this morning. And in the very seat I'm sitting in the only way I know how, the simplest way I know how, Lord, I'm inviting you into my heart this morning. I'm asking you to save me from my sins, be my personal Savior, and take me to heaven one day. I believe, Lord Jesus, you are the only way to heaven, and I'm inviting you into my heart right here and right now. Lord, now that I'm saved, now that I'm born again, simply by trusting only in you, I'm asking you to help me be a good Christian. Help me to attend church faithfully. Help me to read my Bible faithfully. But first and foremost, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving my soul right here and right now. It's in your precious name I pray. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. My friend, if that's you this morning, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, the angels are rejoicing in heaven right now because your name is written in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be erased. The angels are rejoicing in heaven based on the decision you made this morning. I would love to rejoice as well. I would love to rejoice with the angels knowing you are my brother or sister in the Lord. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out or point you out or single you out. But if you trusted Christ as your Savior this morning, I just love to be encouraged knowing that fact. Would you just quickly lift your hand up and put it down and saying you trusted Christ as your Savior? Anyone at all? Just slip it up and put it down. Slip it. Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up and put it down. Lord, we thank you for these two souls, Lord, who trusted you as their Savior this morning. May this Christmas be the greatest Christmas they've ever experienced because of what they did today. Lord, we thank you for Fellowship Baptist. We thank you, Lord, for this what this church is doing for you. Continue to bless this church, guide this church, use this church as a salvation station and a lighthouse, Lord. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. And just bless the rest of the day, Lord, and bring us back safely again tonight, Lord. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory. It's in your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.